Welcoming in our friend Ryan Hannibal of WEEI in Boston. Hello there, Ryan.
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
Pretty well, thank you. How's your Thursday?
It's going. A nice day down here. Got some golf in, so that's can't complain about that.
Nice, nice. And how is your golf game progressing this spring?
Not great, but hopefully, you know, with the warmer weather and, you know, the course is drying out, that'll improve the scores.
Yeah, see, I need that. I need the dry grass to get a little extra yardage on the roll and the bounce.
Totally hear you. I'm the same way. I don't hit it too far, and so that, you know, the dry conditions certainly help out my drive.
See, and I was hoping, too, that maybe even by this age, but certainly soon, that I would become that grizzled veteran golfer who didn't hit it very far, but it was always, you know, like 150 right down the middle, and instead, yep. I don't hit it far, but I still don't hit it straight.
You're left and right. You're spraying all over the place.
Oh yeah.
Well, there's time. There's always time to improve, and I'm sure you'll get to play more golf, you know, in the years to come. And then who knows? Maybe your game will take off.
That's it. Yeah, I'm hoping if there's a senior tour, maybe I'll be ready for that down the road a little bit. Well, let's talk about the Patriots. They've been busy here. Brian Hoyer back. What does that mean for the team, especially for Jared Stidham?
Yeah, that was a bit of a head-scratcher earlier in the week, just based on they already had three capable quarterbacks on the roster. But then you sort of take a look at it, and, you know, I sort of took a step back and realized that Brian Hoyer probably knows the Patriots offense better than anybody in the NFL besides Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels, and what better guy to sort of tutor Mac Jones than Brian Hoyer. And, you know, what that means for Jared Stidham, it's obviously not great. He seems like the odd man out. You know, I could see a scenario where they just kind of go with Mac Jones and Brian Hoyer. Like, if Mac Jones wins the starting job out of training camp and Cam Newton gets released, then where does Jared Stidham fit? Like, what's the need for him? Brian Hoyer is the more capable backup. So it's not good news for Jared Stidham, and it's kind of a tough hand that he was dealt, never really given a fair shot. But I think this move sort of indicates what we saw last year, that the team just really doesn't see much in him.
Patriots picked up another defensive back today. And what's going on here? Is there a little kickback to Drew Rosenhaus? It seems like all of his guys are coming to New England.
Yeah, I mean, that was the theme of the first day of free agency, and it's continued throughout this, I guess, free agency process. We're still in free agency, and it just speaks to the sort of relationship that I think Belichick has developed with him over the years, and that's a good thing. It goes all the way back to Rob Gronkowski. So, you know, Rosenhaus is one of the better agents in the game, represents some of the top players, so it's not a bad connection to have. But this is just the Patriots sort of filling out their roster as they get set for OTAs to kick off next week, and just, you know, they can fill their roster up to 90 players, and it's like they're getting all the way up to 90. And these guys that they signed this week certainly aren't, you know, locks to make the roster. They probably won't, but it's just Belichick sort of just filling the roster with depth guys, and sort of we'll see how it all plays out, you know, come the summer.
And you wrote about this on WEEI.com. They've got some money here, around $15 million in cap space, and you've presented some options as to how they might spend that money.
Yeah, they have $15 million in cap space. I think it was the ninth most in the NFL, which is sort of saying something considering how much money they spent this entire offseason. I know that they had the third most cap space going into it, but still, they did a good job of structuring their contracts. And so, you know, $15 million is no—it's, you know, nothing to sneeze about. They have a decent amount of money, and they've been connected to Julio Jones and Odell Beckham, which seems for years now. So if, you know, one of those guys were to, you know, be on the market, I mean, we've gotten reports, but we don't know for sure. I would assume the Patriots will at least be calling because they're one of the few teams in the league that could actually make, you know, the contracts work. And then they could go out and extend one of their own players. And the guy I look to most is Stephon Gilmore, who's only going to make $7 million this year. It seems like that's not actually going to happen. So a scenario could certainly be just use that cap space to give him a pay bump for this year. It's certainly deserving. And then the last option, not the most exciting option, is just carrying it over to next year. It's not like it's going to go to waste for not using it this year. It does carry over year to year. They could use that next offseason to go out and have another sort of big spending spree, because like I look at it, they're not a finished product. They're not totally done with the rebuild, so they'll certainly be in the market next offseason for top players, and maybe it's worth just carrying this money over to next year and go out and get, you know, a guy that you deem worthy of going after next offseason.
today's wide receiver, you think, still the most pressing need?
Yeah, it has to be, just because there's no one number one guy on the roster, and I think that the team is telling themselves internally that Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith sort of fill that void, but it's just not the same of having a number one stud receiver that, you know, opposing defenses fear week in and week out. And just because we're still late in the offseason, it's kind of hard to envision them being able to find one, unless that's trading for Julio Jones or Odell Beckham. But right now, I can't see them finding a number one receiver, and so I would imagine that still would be a top need, you know, next offseason.
We're talking with Ryan Hannibal here on Downtown. Well, the big showdown, as the schedule was released, Patriots and Buccaneers, week four, and it's there for a reason. Can you explain why the NFL thought that was the best time for that matchup?
Yeah, I think that they want this game to be all about Tom Brady, and I think that any later in the season, you run the risk of some other things coming into play, like, you know, a big snowstorm in Foxborough, and it's all about the weather, and you know, Brady can't get the video stuff and all that. And then also, injuries are still a factor. Like, who knows what happens? And obviously, he's avoided injuries for the bulk of his career, but what's to say that Tom Brady doesn't get hurt this season? And so having it so early in the year kind of helps the chances that he is able to play in the game. And to me, I kind of think that the NFL is a little bit worried about the Patriots maybe not being as competitive as some people think they might be. And so having it earlier in the year ensures, you know, they're, you know, at worst 0-3 in that game, which I don't think will be the case, but they'll still be in playoff contention for sure. So the game will still mean something in that sense.
The bye week for the Patriots in this coming season is pretty late, but that may not be the worst thing based on recent history.
Yeah, I think I saw one of the tweets saying that the last Super Bowl champions have all had this week bye. Is that what you're referring to?
Right, right.
Yeah, so that's obviously, you know, a good omen to have, but I think it could also be good with the 17-game schedule. It's obviously a longer season. They could use that to sort of to be more fresh for the final games of the season and potentially the postseason. I think that could certainly be an advantage to them, where some of these other teams might have their bye earlier in the year, whereas the Patriots is later, and they'll, you know, be more fresh come the postseason, which I think they'll certainly be in the mix for. So the bye week, it's good or bad. You can look at it from both sides, no matter where your bye is. But I think if you ask Patriots players, they'd probably prefer it to be a little bit earlier.
Did you have to wear a referee shirt and have a whistle with you when you had Giardi on the podcast to keep Mike and Andy Hart separated?
Well, I couldn't even get a word in because those guys were going back and forth so much. And it's good, though. I like those two. They both bring some knowledge. They're both passionate about the subject between Cam Newton and sort of what Bill Belichick's using them, and if Bill Belichick owes Cam Newton anything. So it was a good conversation. I can't say I was able to take part much of it, but so it's good for the listeners.
Let's shift gears for a moment to baseball. I don't know. If I were a betting man, I'd put some money on Nick Pivetta throwing a no-hitter tonight. Everybody else is doing it.
Well, that'd be great for me because I'm part of that Jordan's Furniture promotion where I get free furniture. So let's hope it happens.
Nice.
It is kind of crazy, though, that we've had all these no-hitters in baseball this year. It's still an accomplishment. I mean, it's a big deal. I think that I don't know what to make of all these no-hitters this year, but I do think that some of these people that are trying to downplay them, it's still a big deal. It's still a big deal to throw a no-hitter in Major League Baseball.
And I will say this about the Red Sox. Who knows how long? They're still in first place right now. I think it's going to be a competitive division this year. But one of the things I'm impressed with is the resiliency of this team. It seems like every time they take a bad loss, as they did a couple of nights ago, they're able to bounce back and get a convincing win.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that was a thing that was shown last night in that game. And I know it wasn't a competitive game, and they got off to a hot start, but that was important coming off of their last two games. They had that tough loss at Fenway on Sunday to the Angels, then were shut out in Dunedin against the Blue Jays on Tuesday, but then came back and had a convincing win last night to remain in first place in the AL East. And I think you're right. That is a good sign. That's a sign of a team that's going to fight the entire way. And I think, you know, you look at where they are in the standings, and we're getting close to Memorial Day, and that's kind of where I look at the standings and say, you know, is this team for real? And if a team's in first place on Memorial Day, I'd say that team's for real. I'm not saying the Red Sox are going to win the World Series, but if they're still in first place on Memorial Day, they're probably going to be certainly in the playoff hunt, you know, come October.
And it sounds like they're going to get a little offensive bump this weekend. All signs seem to indicate that Danny Santana may be activated as soon as tomorrow.
Yeah, that'd certainly be good for them. I mean, their offense has been okay, but they could always use a spark, and having a guy like him join the team could only help. And I think any bat they could add right now would certainly be a plus. And we'll see how it all plays out where he fits into the lineup. But he's certainly a guy that can help.
Ryan Hannibal, WEEI in Boston. Ryan, always fun to catch up with you. Thanks for making time this afternoon, and we'll talk with you again soon. You keep hitting them straight out on those fairways.
We'll try. All right, thanks, Rich. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Ryan.